So if we're traveling around in the desert and we're looking for desert crossings, I want to give you and I some travel tips. If you're crossing the desert, now it's not rocket science, but this is an abbreviated list. If you want fun on a desert story and just a little window into the extremes of the desert, go back and read the book of Jonah. Now, I know Jonah for most of us was a fish story, but Jonah ends up in the desert. If you read the last chapter of Jonah, Jonah's done with Nineveh. He is fed up with them, and he sits down on a hillside because he wants to watch God destroy it. He didn't want them to repent, but they did. And then he was not very happy about it. He wasn't intending for Nineveh to repent, and he didn't want them to thrive. So he goes and he sits down on the hillside. It says that God caused a vine to grow, and the vine provided a shade for Jonah. And he was so happy about the vine, because shade in the desert makes all the difference. It says that God provided the vine and then provided him a worm. It was discipline for Jonah. He wasn't punishing Jonah. He was tightening Jonah's perspective. The worm ate the vine, and the vine withered, and he was exposed to the sun, and then he got angry, and he said to God, "I am so mad I could just die." And God said to Jonah, "Jonah, you're angry about a worm and a vine, but you couldn't care less about those folks over there at Nineveh. Do you have any imagination that God could use you when your heart isn't exactly right? I hope you do. Or you're letting the devil rob you from many productive days in the kingdom of God. God doesn't use us because we're perfect. He works through our lives because he loves us. God's desire to help people is so great that he will speak through a donkey. Hello, Ralphie. Now I'm talking about the other donkey too. So don't let the devil berate you because of the inconsistencies in your life. Now, I'm not encouraging you to be sloppy, but don't let the devil rob you of your joy. You're not in the desert because you're imperfect. You're in the desert because God loves you, and he's delivering you from many things. He's bringing you to a better place. If you only cooperate with him, if you stand in your rebellion, you'll spend more time in the desert. A little thing that also that we need when we're in the desert, a little shade and water. You need both when you're in the desert. And without them, life is miserable. You won't survive. In chapter 7 of John's Gospel, Jesus in Jerusalem, and it's a desert city. If you get to Jerusalem without, you can't get there unless you go through the desert. John chapter 7, verse 37, again, I paraphrase. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood with a loud voice and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." I promise you, in Jerusalem, everybody's thirsty because water is one of the most precious resources in all of the Middle East. You know, they don't fight over oil in the Middle East. They fight over water. Anybody thirsty? Jesus said, "I got water." Everybody looks and everybody listens and everybody leans in when he said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within them." John 7:38. Now, that's Jesus' statement. In verse 39 in John's commentary, John wrote this gospel after the Jesus story, after Jesus returned to heaven, and he is now writing in retrospect. He's giving you Jesus' statement, but then he says to us from hindsight, 7:39, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him will later receive." Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, but since Jesus had not yet been glorified, he is now glorified, and we have the Holy Spirit. So John used Jesus' words to help us understand that he meant streams of living water from within the Spirit of God. Unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit is important. Jesus just made that invitation to everybody on the Temple Mount. The Spirit isn't poured out on those who are perfect and fully obedient. No, I think one of the mistakes that we make is that the Spirit of God only works for people who have accomplished some level of purity, purification, or heightened something else, or just been successful. God works through our imperfections. And I've said it many times, and I'm sure you'll hear me repeat it again. You have to guard your heart. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that someone is cooperating with the Spirit of God. You know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. You have to cooperate with the Spirit of God to let those things emerge in your character. The gifts of the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit, the expressions of the power and the Spirit of God are not character-based. The fruit of the Spirit is the insulation for the manifestations for the gifts of the Spirit. But we as humans have a tendency to just attach maturity to persons when we see manifestations of the power of God. It's a bad choice. You want to look for the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the character being yielded to the Spirit of God. And God's desire to help the people is so great. As I said a moment ago, He'll do supernatural things through a donkey. Don't follow people because you see that the supernatural is evident in them. It's not an evidence of maturity. It's an evidence of the grace of God. You know, we talk a lot about Psalm 91, and we need to really think about the prayer in Psalm 91. 91 verse 1 said, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Wow, what a joy it is. So, you need a good guide to go through this desert that we're in. And guess who the guide is? It is the Spirit of the Living God. Now, I'm going to close this section of this teaching. I know it's been long, but think about this. In Revelation chapter 1, I thought it was such a very good example. The Apostle John is in the desert, but a different kind of desert. He's an old man. His peer group is gone. Peter's gone. James's gone. Andrew's gone. And he's been banished to an island. And the Isle of Patmos is out in the middle of the Aegean Sea. There is no land around it. It's really not the best place to be because that's where they put thieves and different people. But here they put John there. Why? Because he was proclaiming the gospel. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9. "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering of the kingdom and patient endurance that ours is in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." Now that doesn't sound like a desert trip, does it? I'm suffering and I'm enduring patiently. And then he said, "On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet." And when he turns to look, who does he see? Jesus. John said, "I fell at his feet like I was dead." But to me, the key was the whole book of the book of Revelation. The whole remarkable story is that John said in verse 10, "It was the Lord's day and I was in the Spirit." I think of all the places that he could have been. I think of all the other things he'd been given himself, that he was in the Spirit. Our choices to make a difference, and our attitudes towards the person of the Holy Spirit is important because we need His help. He is for your God good, and He will not embarrass you, not humiliate you, not diminish you, and He doesn't want to take anything from you. You don't have anything that He needs. He wants to help you, but He has everything that you need.